I want to continue on our study concerning the Word of God and our relationship to it. And what a great thing it is to have a relationship with the Lord through the Word of God. We've been studying Psalm 119. I hope it encourages you to put the Word of God first in your life and make time for it every day. All the awesome promises he makes in Psalm 119 for having a relationship with God through the Word are just awesome. The promises are make you wonder why you don't spend a lot more time in the Word, honestly. In verse 65, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed in thy commandments." You know, this is, again, he is pointing out grace to us. Lord, I ask you, teach me good judgment and knowledge. You know, the Lord teaches us knowledge. It's a gift from God. It's not something that you can do without his spirit in studying books and so on and so forth. A Gnosticism, if you will. There is a large portion of the Christian religion that are just that way. They think you can go to Bible school and get knowledge. And usually what's passed on is the traditions of men that Jesus railed about in the Gospels. But true knowledge comes from God. It's a gift from God. God can open your understanding to see things that none of your contemporaries have seen and you've never seen. He gives a gift called the Word of Knowledge like that. It's a gift from God. This gift you have to pray for. The other one you don't have to pray for at all. You can just go to Bible school. They'll give you all kinds of knowledge. But usually that kind of knowledge just puffs your head up. It makes you think you're somebody you're not. And of course you get this certificate that tells everybody you're a pastor or whatever, you know. But the truth is that real true knowledge can only come by the Holy Spirit. God hid true knowledge in the Bible so that only the Holy Spirit could reveal it. And not only that, he's the only one that can bring it up out of you with an anointing upon it so that it will actually do something for somebody. So, you know, if you really want true knowledge, my prayer when I was a young Christian and still today, my prayer was really strong back then. Lord, I want to know the truth. I want knowledge. I want wisdom. Give me understanding. And I tell you, God will answer that prayer. If you really say it from your heart, he will answer that prayer. Again, there are the Gnostics out there today, you know, and the people that claim to have, you know, knowledge, and they've been to Bible school, so they've certainly got it, right? But Jesus didn't pick the Bible school graduates in his day. He picked ignorant people that were just anointed of God, given a gift of knowledge from God. And Jesus himself taught them, and he still does it. And he didn't charge them anything for it. He didn't give them any certificate either. He still does that today. You know, you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, okay. He will take you under his wing. He will take care of you. Verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I observe thy word." This is amazing. You know, I mean, we would all like to get out of affliction. We'd just like to observe his word, right? How many of you know that the old flesh, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And the flesh gets distracted by the things of the world, you know. But God can get our attention, and he quite often does it with affliction of one form or another. This is not necessarily talking about a sickness here. An affliction of one form or another, he gets our attention. And he makes us to know, of course, that his word is the solution for any affliction out there. He's got a way of making us run to the word. Some of you came to the Word because of some kind of affliction, you know, and that's what he's saying here. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And God makes us very careful when he chastens us. You know, the Bible says he chastens every son that he receives. Would you think some of them would have been good and not had to have any whippings? Well, it don't work that way. Your flesh is ornery. It's contrary to God. It's the enemy of God, the Bible says. God knows some get chastenings more often than others, just like children do, but But we all get these chastenings, and they make us very careful to go and look at the Word of God more carefully. Prosperity and peace, people generally do go astray, but the Lord can take that away, and He's doing it now. In verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Well, this is a kind of a simple statement, but think about it. There's a lot of Christians that don't necessarily believe this. They'll argue with God about what He does. They don't believe He's sovereign, and they don't believe He works all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And they don't think that everything God does is good. Obviously, the Word will change your mind about that. You know, we've written a little book called Sovereign God, and people that read that come to realize that God is truly working everything together for your good. Even though you may not like some of the things, especially the chastenings, it is God. He is good, and He's doing good. He didn't say everything was good, but that He's doing good. In other words, He uses everything to do good for His saints. He uses everything for our good. All things together for our good. And He is good. And we should never let this get out of our mind, never be distracted from this fact that everything God does is good, and He is good. Some people argue about that. Some Christians argue about that. But if they would read the Word more, they wouldn't. And 69 says, the proud have forged a lie against me. Oh boy, is that ever common, right? The proud have other motives, don't they? It's a competition with them. So you're just somebody that's in their way, you know, somebody to step on. So they're very quickly known, and they don't mind lying against people. With my whole heart will I keep thy precepts. Well, this is your only protection from the proud, the arrogant, the false leaders, so on and so forth. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. What does he mean? He means they're totally overcome with flesh, right? They're like the sow that is washed to wallowing in the mire, right? The sow, the pig, which is a really good symbol of overindulgent flesh. You see somebody that's overindulging their flesh, they can never be right. You know, you see preachers out there that are just living high off the hog and, you know, making lots and lots of money and got several houses and airplanes and all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, suspect them right off, because this is what he's talking about here. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. People that love the Word, they're not going to be caught up in a love for this world, are they, and the things of the world, according to the Scriptures. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. Here he is again with this. We don't like to hear this. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Amen. That's just like verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I observe thy word. He's confirming it. So don't hold God too harshly because he does this. He knows it's necessary. We don't want this to happen. We would rather just, Lord, just tell me the truth and point me in the right direction. But sometimes, frankly, we're torn. We're torn but that old fleshly nature, you know. And God knows it's going to take some chastening before you will not listen to that anymore. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And frankly, there's an awful lot of people out there that don't even have the beginning of wisdom. It is obvious. They do not fear the Lord. They do not fear His Word. And they run headlong into the Lord's chastenings, right? We would love to keep our children from being chastened the same way we were, but somehow they just don't get out of it, do they? We would love to warn them, but they don't take our warnings, do they? Seems like they have to go through it too, till they learn to respect the Lord, you know. So, we go through it. And it is our crucifixion of this old flesh, so that the Lord himself can live, right? Hallelujah. Live in us. And 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Amen. Amen. There is nothing more exciting to me than the Word of God. Finding out more about God, learning how to walk in His Word, and money can't buy that. Money don't impress me. Since I found the Word of God, money doesn't impress me. It never has. Since I really found the Word of God when I was a new Christian, money just hadn't been impressive to me. Oh, it's good for things, you know, and good to get by and good as a means to an end. It's good to serve God's people. But as far as myself, it really doesn't impress me. And I like 73. It says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." We are, folks, the temple made without man's hands. Of course, I'm adding man's in there, but that's what he's talking about. It's God's hands. We are his workmanship. We are his temple that he is building. Praise be to God. And we need for the Lord to give us understanding and to learn his commandments. It'll save us an awful lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. How many pitfalls would we be guided around if we would just spend more time in his word? In 74, "They that fear thee shall see me and be glad, because I have hoped in thy word." Amen. This is my desire too, is that the people that fear the Lord would come together, and they will. And they also rejoice in finding other people that fear the Lord. And when we hope in his word, his grace is going to be with us. In verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are righteous." Boy, that's something we need to keep in our remembrance too. If God did it, it's right. It's just right. It reminds me of this verse in 128. It says, "Therefore I esteem all of thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." If God said it is right, people argue, well, how can that be? You know, why would you even consider that it couldn't possibly be? You know, why would you consider it? I wouldn't. God does something, it's right. I've said this to so many people, you know, that, it happened. Does anything happen without the Lord? Can a man receive anything that doesn't come from heaven? No. According to the word, God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Some people are mad. They're angry at their circumstance. But really, they're angry at God because their circumstance comes from him. And God knows it too. He knows they're angry with him. So, you know, if we just go back to the foundation and decide that whatever God does is right, whatever he says is right, and that settles it, it'll get us out of so much trouble. He said, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me." Amen. He is working everything together for our good. And he's done this for us. And sometimes we're not very grateful, are we? And then verse 76 is a good grace verse. It says, "Let, I pray thee, thy loving kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." Thy loving kindness, thy mercy. I pray thee that thy mercy be for my comfort. "Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight." Notice, if you turn this around, which you can certainly do, if the law is your delight, God's tender mercies will be given to you, and you will live. And verse 78 says, "Let the proud be put to shame, for they have overthrown me wrongfully." Amen. We always pray that, don't we? Lord, let the wicked be put to shame. When he says overthrown me wrongfully, the word also is with falsehood. The wicked want to overthrow the righteous. They want to make them foolish and make them appear or be shamed or whatever. And they always make war against the righteous, right? "But I will meditate on thy precepts." It's like, hey, here's the cure. "But I will meditate on thy precepts." While he's saying he's being persecuted, And of course, this is the Lord talking, but he knows our talk, doesn't he? He knows what we think. They're being persecuted and overthrown, but I will meditate on thy precept. Now, for the probably the next 10 or 12 verses is the same kind of a thing he's talking about all the way through here. He always says, but I'm going to believe your word, but I love your word, but I'm concentrating on your word, right? It's like this is the cure. I mean, what are we here for? Is to be the word made flesh. Why are we persecuted? To be the word made flesh. How long are we going to be persecuted until we're the word made flesh? You know, we're here to learn our lessons and get out of here, right? So let's concentrate. Let's don't get distracted. This is all part of it. If we learn our lessons, then we probably don't need to go through as much as some other people do. The quickest way to the end of a trial is to overcome in it so you don't have to do it again, right? Have you ever had a strong-willed child? It takes more for them than others. You know, I've had one, and he certainly taught me a lot, but he had to go through more striving and more trouble and more chastenings. You know, he had to go through more. So I guess what God's saying through these demonstrations to us is make it easy on yourself. Verse 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and they shall know thy testimonies. Amen. The people that fear the Lord, they love the testimonies of God. You know, I'm talking about the written testimonies and the testimonies that come from the written testimonies. You know, they love them. The rest of them, they don't want to hear that. They want to serve their flesh, right? But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Praise God. Let my heart be perfect in thy statutes, that I be not put to shame. Again, here's one of those you can turn it around. The way that we're not going to be put to shame is for our heart to be perfect in his statutes. This all goes back to verse 1 of Psalm 119, you know, about the perfect in the way. If we're perfect in the way is what? God's walking in God's statutes, walking in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. We don't want to be put to shame, so let's walk in God's statutes. If we don't, he definitely will send shame and trouble our way. And verse 81, and all the way down through here, by the way, you know, from verse 81 on down through 10, 12 verses down, it's all about endurance. Are we going to endure what the Lord decides that we need to go through? You know, James chapter 1 says in verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We're constantly going through it, but are we going to endure it? When he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Well, blessed is the man that endureth the temptation. The person that loves the Lord will endure the temptation. Well, everybody else will just fall into it. You have to love God to keep his commandments. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, you'll endure the temptation, being obedient to the Lord. This is how we prove our love to the Lord. Notice he says, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Who is it that actually is going to receive life? Let's just put aside all the religious talk. Who is it that actually is going to receive eternal life? Those that love the Lord. Some people say it's those that accept the Lord, but the Bible doesn't say that. It says those that love the Lord. And those that love the Lord, he said over and over, so did Paul, so did Peter, they keep his commandments. So did John. They keep his commandments. You know, some people think the only thing we have to do is believe with a mental assent in the Jesus of our own liking, you know, but no, we're here to serve God. We're here to keep his commandments. And there's one thing for sure. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. And if we walk by faith in him, we will receive power from him to keep his commandments. This is the truth. The accept Jesus gospel has just filled the church up. It's done the same thing that the Church of Rome did. Filled it up with every kind of pagan you can think of. You know, a mixture of all different thoughts and so on and so forth. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to serve the Lord, walk in his statutes, keep his word, endure every trial unto the end. And verse 81 in Psalm 119 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. That's a person that's enduring what they got to go through to see the manifestation of their salvation. He's not just talking about what the church calls salvation. He's talking about the deliverance, the healing, the blessing, so on, anything that he needs that saves him. My soul fainteth. In other words, he is tired of waiting for God to come and save. But he says, I hope in thy word. In other words, I'm going to endure this. I'm going to trust in the word. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Are you going through a long trial? Be careful that your thinking continues to be right or you'll give up before the end. You know, don't get discouraged by your thoughts. Cast down thoughts that tend to discouragement and depression, or you won't endure to see the answer. Many people give up just before the answer comes. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? We've got to endure to the end. And that's going to prove that we really love God. If you endure suffering, the Bible says this is okay. You know, Peter said it's all right if you endure suffering for the Lord's sake. It's okay. And we are. We are enduring suffering for the Lord's sake. We're enduring the suffering of the death of our old self in this world. And this is for the Lord's sake because the Lord wants to live in us. He wants to do his work through us. If we will endure this, believing in his word, trusting in his word, he will come and save us. You know, mine eyes fail for thy word, meaning, of course, they fail for his word to come to pass. Waiting for his word to come to pass. While I say, when wilt thou comfort me? Yeah, this is a trial. Not everybody endures to the end of this trial. Job was certainly going through a long one, a terrible one, but the Lord brought him through it by grace. He gave him more understanding. He gave up his self-righteousness and repented before the Lord, and the Lord blessed him, multiplied him. We don't have to endure, most often none of us have to endure anything like what Job had to go through, right? And verse 83 says, for I am become like a wineskin in the smoke. Wow, you know, I think a wineskin in the smoke would get pretty hard after a while, pretty dried up, pretty inflexible. And yet do I not forget thy statutes. No, this is the whole point. We got to endure by remembering God's statutes, concentrating on his word. When you're going through tough times, don't go look for anything to pacify your flesh. Many people do that. You know, they just want to plop down in front of the TV or go get a drink or, you know, whatever, you know. When you're going through tough times, go get in the Word. It will get you out of them. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Yeah, I've had that question before. How about you? Everybody has, you know. How long, Lord, are you going to let this unjust situation go on. You know, from our point of view, many times things look very unjust because what right has this person got to judge me? Look at them. Look at their problems, so and so. But you know what? If it's happening, guess who's permitting it? God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. We've got to look past the person and see God, don't we? And we do cry out to God. How long are you going to let this go on? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? You know, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So he does do that. He will do it. When he's through, like he said in Isaiah chapter 10, when he's through doing his work on you, then he'll punish them that are doing this work on you. But best thing we can do is cooperate with God through the midst of the trial so that what God is doing on us is very effective. You know, we're learning our lesson, in other words, right? The proud have digged pits for me who are not according to thy law. They lay traps for the righteous, but as we've seen in the scriptures, they always fall into their own trap. They like to deceive and make gain out of the righteous, but folks, they end up in their own trap. Just trust in the Lord. Endure the trial. God's put it on you, then don't gripe about it. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Give thanks unto God. The Bible says, give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a really quick way to get grace from God. Everybody that has tried it knows that. Even in the midst of an unrighteous thing, unrighteous persecution, you know, slow down and give praise unto God and comfort yourself in the Word. Run to the Word to comfort yourself. And the Psalms is an excellent place when you're suffering at the hands of other people to comfort yourself and to get promises from God and to be encouraged. And, you know, discouragement causes you to lose out with God and not endure the trial unto the end, right? All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. And of course, the Lord will answer your prayers, right? Amen. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Well, what stopped him from consuming because he forsook not thy precepts? It's the answer. Look how many times this is the answer is get into the Word, get into the Word over and over and over. He's telling us this is the answer. This is the solution. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Like this is the cure, right? Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Again, quicken means make me alive after thy loving kindness. So shall I observe the testimony of thy mouth. You know, it's God's grace that we observe his testimonies. You know, again, observe is also means keep his testimonies, not just look at. To them, observe meant to look and to keep his testimonies, right? Make me alive, Lord, then I'll keep your word. That's grace, isn't it? That's somebody that's trusting in Almighty God. Be their Savior. And verse 89 is one of my favorites. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Because it's so hard to help people understand that God hadn't changed his word and he's not going to change his mind. Yes, God can change a word, a prophetic word that he gives to you personally, because it can be a warning. It can be a promise that you don't endure to the end to receive. It can be a threat. But when God writes something in his Bible, it's like a rock. He's not going to change it. That's why you need to know what is unchangeable. Many things about us are changeable, but one thing is true, and it's the Word of God. And when you find out what God will do in your circumstance, it can be a great comfort to you to know that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He's not going to change it from one generation to the next. like a lot of very foolish religious people say nowadays, oh, that passed away and this passed away. Oh, no, it didn't. According to Hebrews 13 and 20, what God gave us is an eternal covenant. Now, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus. So when he brought from the dead Jesus Christ, he started an eternal covenant. Make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Now that's grace, isn't it? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. We desire earnestly to have something we can depend upon. Much of the church is talking God's people out of depending upon things in the Word. You know, we can depend upon healing because it's an eternal covenant. We can depend upon deliverance because it's an eternal covenant. It's already been provided. God's never going to change his mind. He don't care if men do. He's not going to change his mind. And so, you know, when we read it in the Word, if your religion doesn't believe it, believe the Word, because he's never going to change it. It's an eternal covenant. Praise be to God. We can trust in God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's like the verse I read a few minutes ago, verse 128. Therefore I esteem all of thy precepts concerning all things to be right. None of them have passed away. It's all still true. And he said, I hate every false way. If you believe every word of God is true, then everything else is a false way. And remember my good brother, and I've mentioned this before, from some years ago, who was a Baptist teacher, Brother Ray Taylor. And he was a teacher in the Baptist church. And he told me one time when he got this revelation, because, of course, they were big on teaching, oh, this passed away and that passed away. And since we don't have it, it had to pass away because we're the best, you know. So it had to have passed away. God's just not offering it if he hadn't given it to us, you know. That's their theory. Well, actually, Ray was considered crazy by his family because of this one revelation. He told me how he was standing in front of the window in his Baptist, Sunday school, and he was looking out the window and this revelation hit him. He said, it's all still true. It's all still true. And that one rather simple revelation changed his whole life. Of course, everybody in his religion knew he was crazy, you know. But the truth is, he was right. It changed his whole life. It's all still true. Praise be to God. Let's don't depart from it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Look at Psalm 89 and verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Oh, hallelujah. Now you know that when God says it, it's true, and you can depend upon it. It's his rock. My covenant will I not break. He's not going to break it. You can break it, but he's not going to break it. Nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Now, he doesn't have to bring any word to pass if you break the covenant. If you broke it, you broke it, you see. But otherwise, he's not going to alter anything that's gone out of his lips. So we can say, with the psalmist in 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Word is true, and he's not going to change it. Another one is 138 and 2, Psalm 138 and 2. And it says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and give thanks unto thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has put his word above his name. Some people say, well, God said this, but he decided not to do that. No, God is submitting his name under his word. He has put his word number one. He isn't going to change his mind. He's put his word number one. His name, a good name. Obviously, the Lord has the very best name. It means his nature, character, and authority. He submitted that to the word of God. Some people think God's willy-nilly. You know, he'll do this one time and, well, yeah, he promised that, but he doesn't always do it. Well, it's not God. The reason it's not always done. He doesn't break the covenant. Men do. If you're not keeping the covenant, you can't expect him to bring to pass the things that he has spoken. So he's placed his word above his name. That means so you can totally depend upon it. God is not going to change his mind. His nature is submitted to what he's already said. In fact, it's a manifestation of what he said. He doesn't have to change his mind because it's a manifestation of what he said. Now, from worldly perspective, does God change his mind? Yeah, from a worldly perspective, but not from a heavenly perspective. From a worldly perspective, God makes promises that don't come to pass sometimes. Every promise in his book, he made them. He stands behind them. But if you don't keep his covenant, they don't come to pass. How do you keep his covenant? By walking by faith. If God says something, you believe it. He gives you grace, right? He gives you grace by bringing it to pass. So, if it doesn't come to pass, whose fault is it? It's our fault. Always. Because he never breaks his covenant. We do. We break it. We can't expect it to come to pass. The Lord stands behind his word. Look in John chapter 12 and verse 48. It says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him at the last day. We need to have a total respect for God's word. Because if we disobey it, that word will judge us in the last day. It will come back to spank us. And in some cases, it will come back to keep us from entering into the kingdom of heaven even. Read it again. It's very plain. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings. First of all, if you're receiving not his sayings or his words, then you're rejecting him. When someone wants to talk to you about the scriptures and they point out to you the word of God and you reject it, you are rejecting him. That's what it says there. Look carefully. Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. Well, we need to tremble at God's word, don't we? And 49 and 50, for I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me, he hath given me a commandment that I should say of what I should say and what I should speak. And verse 50, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. Now his commandment can judge you in the last day or it can exonerate you in the last day. We need grace to be obedient to that commandment so that we only receive the blessing from it, right? And I know that his commandment is life eternal. The things therefore which I speak, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. So this commandment, if we obey it, it won't judge us in the last day. If we do obey it, it is eternal life. His commandment is. That's not just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, which is not in the Bible. That's keeping his commandments. Oh, that's salvation by works, David. Well, you're reading it right here, right straight out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. The Lord expects us to be obedient to his word, and we can if we believe, because by grace have you been saved through faith. If you really believe, you get grace. Grace to be obedient. He works in us to willing to do of his good pleasure, right? That other gospel is the greasy grace gospel, and it won't get you anywhere with the Lord. God expects us to obey Him. He expects us to respect His word. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8 and 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all of His good promise, which He promised by Moses His servant. There's not failed one word of all of His promise, right? The Lord our God be with us, as He was with our fathers. Let Him not leave us nor forsake us, that He may incline our hearts unto Him, to walk in all of His ways, and to keep His commandments. See, this is a gift from God, right? That He may incline our hearts unto Him, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His ordinances, which He commanded our fathers. Look, there has not failed of all of His good promise, not one word of all of His good promise, which He promised by Moses. You know, our faith in those promises is what causes God to incline our hearts unto Him, to walk in His ways and keep His commandments. Amen? I'm going to go back to Psalm 119 again here and take up again in verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Some people think the Lord has just passed us by, you know. No, He's with all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Yeah, everything serves the Lord. All things serve Him, serve His purpose. In creating suns in the earth. Matter of fact, this next verse kind of, it says, they abide this day according to thine ordinances, for all things are thy servants. Everything serves the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 4. God hath created everything for His own purpose. Even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everything serves the Lord. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Nothing can restrain Him. Everything is a part of His creation in order to create sons of God. This is the whole purpose of planet Earth, is to create sons of God. And everything, the heavens themselves, everything was created in order to make a trial here on this earth to see who it would be that would serve God, would have faith in His promises, and would receive His grace to be manifested sons of God. That's what we're here for. Praise be to God. And He said, all things are thy servants. And this is a really, I think, an answer to a lot of what we've read in the last 10 verses or so. He said, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Wow. How many people may perish in their affliction? How many fail in their wilderness? How many murmurers fall in their wilderness and don't see the promise of God? He said, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. How valuable are we seeing that a love for the Word of God is here? Any kind of affliction we could fail in, we could miss God in, but if His promise, if His Word is our delight, We're not going to perish in our affliction. We're not going to fall in the wilderness. You know, we're not going to fail. Look at Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I hear people say all the time, well, yeah, they'll get the healing on the other side, you know, or, oh, yeah, they're, you know, like, they don't believe that they can have God's blessings here. They don't believe God's provided for us here on this side. Everything is, oh, when we get over there, you know, no hope for God to answer here and now, because they really haven't delighted in the word of the Lord to find out that God is a provider of all things, you know, here and now. And some people give up in their quest for an answer from God, a provision from God. They faint along the way. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We ever going to see the goodness of the Lord here? Some of you are going through some things, some long-term trials, very hard on you, very crucifying. Don't faint along the way. You got to believe that God's got an answer for you here in this place. He's got an answer for you. He has provided all things. My God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory, he says. That's not just a prosperity verse, but prosperity is being able to do whatever God wants you to do and being out from under the curse and being under God's blessing and having his provisions, right? Hallelujah. Another one, 44. 17 and 18, chapter 44, says, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Well, folks, there are many things coming upon the church in the days ahead to get God's people's attention. And if you don't forget the Lord in the midst of it, and don't deal falsely because you think that this is a quick way out of it. You don't cut corners. Be disobedient to his principles because there's something that you think would give you a short-term benefit. Then God will be with you in it. He said, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. This is it. This is why we're going through all these hard things, folks, is to prove, are we going to seek another way out, or are we going to continue to be steadfastly trusting in the word, right? And verse 19, that thou hast sore broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God or spread forth our hands to a strange God, will not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as a sheep for a slaughter. And there's a spiritual revelation here too, you know, that's what we're here for, is to have that old flesh slain. Right? The flesh of the beast that is a sacrificial offering unto God. We're here for it to be slain, aren't we? We're here to be crucified. Back in verse 93 of Psalm 119 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Reminds you of Romans 12 and 2, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's word gives us the mind of Christ, and we can endure anything with the mind of Christ. We can go through any trial. We will have God's provision. We will, of course, have our crucifixion, you know. He even enables us to go through our crucifixions and lose our life in this world. He gives us the grace to do this. But we can't forget his precepts. Again, Psalm 119 is totally about being observant to the Word of God, right? It is our way out. It is our blessing. It is our provision. For with his Word, he quickens us. He makes us alive. People, we all want more of the life of Christ. Well, God's got a way, and it is for us to observe his Word faithfully. He says, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Again, here's one you can turn around. If you have sought his precepts, he will save you. Look at it very carefully. You'll see that I'm correct about this. I am thine, save me, for, in other words, because I have sought thy precepts. I hope that this is, putting a desire in you to spend time in the Word every day. It will cause you to outgrow everybody around you if you do. It will cause you to mature quickly. It will enable you to come out of trials quickly. It'll deliver you from the hand of the wicked. As the next verse says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. It will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked. Like 165, let me read that to you. Great peace have they that love thy law, and they have no occasion of stumbling. You know, the wicked are there to try to make us stumble, to cause us to fail, to conquer us for the kingdom of the devil, right? But they wait for us, they lay traps for us, they slander us, they speak against us, but we will consider God's testimonies. And 96, it says, I have seen the end of all perfection. Hey, that's neat. What do you think he's talking about? I wonder if he's not talking about the Lord Jesus. I have seen the end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad. You know, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. We can see the end of all perfection. It's the Lord Jesus who's been given to us to manifest his life in us, to bring deliverance to us. But thy commandment is exceedingly broad. You know, it's not like we can read the word one time and get all we need to get out of it. I know Brother Mike is not too far from me here, and he said one time, he told his mom, about reading the Word. She says, I read it already. Like it was all, okay, I read it one time. Okay. it's not going to happen that way, folks. We need enough love for who God is and that we want to know him, that we will constantly make it a part of our life every day to ask him to get you into good habits of studying his word every day. You know, you behold the Lord Jesus in the mirror, but you need to find out what exactly he looks like, and his word is very broad. You know, it's not like you can learn who he is and know what's been given to you as a gift overnight. You have to study the word so that you know who Christ is. He is the word made flesh. And the more you become familiar with him, the more you are familiar with the gift that God has given unto you. He made reconciliation for us. And that means that he made an exchange. He gave you Christ's life, and he took away your life, and he nailed it on that cross. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, good night, saints. We've come to the end of another study here. The Lord bless you and keep you.